Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. I'm Paul Angelonis. I'm joined in the studio by Philippe Siragi on this beautiful Tuesday morning.
It's a beautiful Tuesday morning.
It's great. We had some rain. We had some gloomy days. And now the sun is out. Fall weather is around.
It's around the corner.
Sweater weather. It's happening.
Sweater weather.
Yes. Sweater weather. And it's a beautiful, beautiful time here. Yeah. How are you doing, Philippe?
I am doing good. Yeah. You know, I could do better, but it could be worse. So overall, Jesus is King, and that's enough.
Amen.
For today.
Amen. Amen.
Right.
Yeah, it's an amazing time to be alive. So much happening. So many things going on. And
yes,
we're here to have a conversation.
About something important.
Yeah, really. Discernment, being a discerning believer is the theme of the week.
Yes.
And Roger and Liz talked about opinions and convictions yesterday.
It was very good.
And then today we're talking about doctrine and how doctrine plays a role, the different levels of doctrine, the different types of doctrines, and how they play a role in our discernment, in our lives, how we make decisions, all those different things. And yeah, you want to get us started on what we're going to talk about?
Sure. This is an important week because, you know, when you think about this, well, truth does matter, right? And the reason why truth matters when it comes down to the things of God, it's because we're not called as Christians just to read a verse, memorize it, and know it. We're called to meditate scriptures and obey, which means that my life is a reflection of my convictions, right? And why does that matter? Because if my convictions are wrong, then my life is going to be off balance. And I can assume in one way if we say, well, I take a doctrine that maybe some Christians disagree on, whether you can lose your salvation or not. In our church, we believe you can't. Because salvation is not ours to lose, you know, and could argue.
We didn't earn it, so we can't lose it.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, it's not the argument in one way, because you could spend an hour arguing for it and prove you this to be true, but that's not the point today. But whether or not you believe your salvation is eternal or not, that changes the way you live. Like, I wake up in the morning, am I questioning my salvation every morning? I don't. But if I could lose it, I might question my salvation every day. So now I'm in a position where I have to make sure I do things with the wrong motivations. You know, I have to do certain things. So my works, my obedience, maybe my prayer, all the things that we're doing, not to name a particular group, but you think about, you know, the earnings that the Jehovah's Witnesses have to be involved in evangelism to get a chance to be among the 144,000 elects. That's a pressure, you know. So the point is really, if I get my doctrine wrong, since I'm supposed to obey this doctrine, then I'm going to get my life wrong, and that has consequences. So that's one point, right? Truth does matter, and we have to take this seriously. That's why we have to understand if convictions are convictions, I live by them. But if you try, if somebody tried to shove down my throat a conviction that is not a biblical conviction, then I should be able to discern that.
Yeah.
And the next point, which I think is also important, is try to find the right balance between Ephesians 4, where we need to have the doctrine taught to us, so we wouldn't toss to and fro with every wind of doctrine, right? Do I want to be shaken every time I hear something on Instagram or YouTube or at my church or whatever? No, I got to have those convictions. So, meaning I have to choose my church according to what I believe the teaching is biblical, you know, what I believe a biblical teaching is. So that's clear. So that means there is an amount of convictions and debate and studying and conversations that needs to happen and fine-tuning. But on the other hand, in Titus 3:9, we're also called not to enter into vain disputes. So how do we navigate between developing convictions and maybe interacting with other people in shaping those convictions without entering into useless and endless vain disputes? So that's why I think a theme like this week is important in helping us practically.
Yeah.
Because if it was just an intellectual endeavor, then you and I could debate and disagree, and then that would be it. But since it's not just an intellectual endeavor, that we have to obey what the Bible says, then might as well get it right.
Yeah.
Right? So I think this is why I think this week is very crucial in that sense.
There's like this head knowledge of understanding doctrine and understanding what the Bible says, but there's a depth and a shift from just head knowledge to something that impacts my heart. Mm-hmm. And that's like these truths that we're talking about, these things that these doctrines that maybe we'll discuss this morning are important for us, not just for us to know, to be able to answer the question, what do you believe or what do you think about this thing that is said or this contradiction that comes up, but knowing mm-hmm. that the things that I'm believing are sourced in something, whether and the different layers that we're talking about as far as dogmatic truths versus denominational differences yes. versus yes. preferential or, you know,
yes.
subjective type of thing. So mm-hmm. those are the layers maybe of the doctrines that are important to us. But there's this quote by A.W. Tozier that I think is important in this conversation just because of what we're talking about with doctrine and knowing versus the personal intimate nature of our relationship with God is like what you think about God. I mean, it may not be a perfect quote, but what you think about God is the most important thing about you. Like in my life, what I think about God mm-hmm. dictates the way that I live my life. As mm-hmm. you were saying about eternal security or any of these yeah. doctrines that are maybe not dogmatic or fundamental or absolute truths in the biblical understanding of Christianity. But what are the things, how do I think about God? And how does that the way that I think about him will dictate the way that I live my life. Mm-hmm. If I believe I can lose my salvation, if I believe that he is far away, if I believe that he's not all powerful, if I believe that the Bible is not inerrant, if there's all these different things that change the way that I view God, they in turn change the way that I view my life. Mm-hmm. And we can try in this discernment that we're having, we can ignore those differences or try to push away those things that contradict or come against what I believe mm-hmm. as opposed to not embracing them, but considering them in what we believe in order to have a fuller understanding of what right. what God is teaching me and what I want to know about him. Because if I only know what I know, you know, I don't know the things that I don't know. So if I'm unwilling to learn and to grow and to be drawn closer to him, mm-hmm. and maybe that means listening to an argument that's contrary to what I believe or a doctrine that I currently don't believe in, but there are people who are believers that have this secondary, you know, or denominational difference from me, and they are reading the same Bible in most cases. And I am trying to understand, okay, well, why do they believe that? And I believe this. And mm-hmm. how can I answer those questions without yeah. having those conversations, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in a way, so I'm trying to relate to what you're saying in a way you said a few important things that we can maybe dissect. Number one is, I think not understanding the difference of levels of importance about doctrines puts me in the place where I'm debating with everything with everyone. And I've seen those guys, you've seen those guys, you know, like, and then the second aspect of things we could talk about was the attitude, you know, am I showing Christ or am I showing like, yeah. you know, and I think we have the same issue, when we discuss apologetics, you know, and so last week, I taught a class for Pastor Gary on methods of evangelism, and he wanted me to discuss the relationship between apologetics and evangelism. Mm-hmm. And I did say a few things. One of those is that we make a mistake to think sometimes that we can substitute apologetics for evangelism, you know, mm-hmm. coming in for an argument. Mm-hmm. And no, it's a support, you know, it's just like if you have, I'm preaching the gospel, you have legitimate questions, I'm ready to answer those questions by using arguments to move those obstacles out of the road so we can, you and I can mm-hmm. talk about Jesus.
Yeah.
But if I'm substituting one for the other, and then I'm just arguing with you, and my hope is that I know more than you do so I can win the argument and the conversations.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I'm doing two things. I'm assuming that winning the arguments will win you to Christ, which is not true. And number two, I'm assuming that I'm doing the right thing, but I look like arrogant. Mm. And many times among ourselves as Christians, if we don't have the attitude, the proper attitude, the proper understanding and humility to relate to others as we think differently on things. And it seems to be like, okay, we're in the same church, doesn't happen. Well, it kind of does. You know, I think, you know, our church has its challenges sometimes here and there, and it leads to conversations. I'm surprised sometimes how, you know, people can just flip all of a sudden about things. Like, well, I thought, you know, well, you know, like you should have done this, you know, whatever, 5 years ago. Okay, well, okay, I'm doing it now. Well, yeah, but it's too late. where's that in the Bible? You know, that's one question I asked a friend of mine. Where's that in the Bible? Because it wasn't me, but it was a situation I was talking about. But show me in the Bible where it's too late to repent when you're on this planet. It's not, you know. So, but all of a sudden, because I'm mad at something, then my emotions get in the way. So all these differences, all of a sudden, are interesting because they bring us, you know, like we either there's two wrong things we do. We have a wrong attitude in debating, and we let our emotions get in the way. And that's the problem also in the relationship in terms of our attitude with each other. When we disagree, we don't know how to disagree, right? And that's a problem because that affects our relationships deeply, right?
Yeah, and maybe we can kind of talk about those different layers. One of the things you want to kind of outline are these fundamental dogmatic truths, these cardinal doctrines that are fundamental to Christianity and are part of what makes a believer. A believer makes a Christian. A Christian is that they believe these core aspects. A lot of them are outlined in the different creeds that have come throughout history. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 kind of lists all of those things that are fundamental to Christianity. And I'll just read 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas," or Peter, "and the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in the present, but some have fallen asleep." So those are three of the fundamental doctrines: that Christ, the Son of God, came to earth.
Yeah.
He lived a perfect life, that he died for the sins of the entire world, and that he rose, he was buried, and that he rose again. There's some additional ones: the inerrancy of Scripture and the authority of Scripture. That and then also the Trinity, that God is three in one: the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And are there any? Am I missing any after in that list that I just gave?
Yeah, I mean, some people it's 10, probably 11, and really, you know, I think yes, you can add, you know, like eternity and heaven, hell, and you know, total depravity for some people, because it does have an effect on how you understand the capacity we have to get saved.
Yes,
but the point I think you're making, which is very helpful, is we can look at things and realize, okay, believing Jesus being the Son of God is way more important than believing whether or not you take communion once a month and once a week.
Yes. Yes.
And one way for me that I organize the doctrines, it would be like, in a way, you could look at the concentric circles, and at the center of it, you have these cardinal doctrines, where the things we believe are fundamental. Like, if you don't believe these, you can't be saved. If you believe that Jesus is one of the possible saviors, then you don't get it, you know. And then, or if you think that you can be saved by works because Christ's work on the cross is not enough, then you can be saved. If you don't believe there is heaven and hell or eternity, then you can be saved either in that way, you know. So of course, some people don't agree with that, but that's a different point. So then you have those cardinal doctrines, and which makes me and you Christians or non-Christians. Can we have fellowship with someone who doesn't believe this? No, we can't. We can have friendships and conversations, but we don't fellowship because we want to have the same Savior.
Yeah.
The second layer or second circle for me is the major doctrines, right? Yeah. The ones that are really matters, and means that there is another church on the down the road that believes differently. We believe we can't lose our salvation. They believe they can. Are they born again? Yes. Are they Christians? Yes. Do they love Jesus? Yes. Are they wrong? I think they are. Yeah. So it means that could we, our church and their church, do a rally together and to evangelize? I don't think we can, because we're not going to say the same things. We're not going to preach the same gospels. Are they born again? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, am I thankful for God using them as much as I'm thankful that God would use me? Absolutely. The third level is still different church, but our differences are not as important. Like as you said, for communion, for example, we take our communion once a month in our church. They take communion once a week in their church. Let's say for some reason we organize a service together. It's Easter. Both churches combined. Guess what? We're going to take communion.
Yeah.
We love it. You love it. It's a great time for me of worshiping God and being thankful for his sacrifice. So mm-hmm. would I do it every week? Absolutely, I would do it every week. Mm-hmm. Except in their mind, it's a command in some mm-hmm. churches.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's a command, but it's completely secondary.
Sure.
And then you have a last layer of doctrine, which is the outer circle, which we can be in the same church. We just don't agree on how you raise your children in a certain way. I don't mm-hmm. see that the same way. And that there's a room for differences in that way. So if I understand that and however you organize it, then you can just chill a little bit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not everybody requires your full nuclear attention.
Yes.
You know, I'm not ready to push the button every single time, you know, and mm-hmm. maybe it's a good time to, I want to read this joke. I read it.
Yeah. Sure.
It's funny. Do you want to read it because you read better than me?
Sure. Yeah. I'll read
all right,
it. Yeah.
So, all right.
It may hit home better.
Okay. So, all right. It starts over here, right? I think it's a fun joke.
All right. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, "Don't do it." He said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God loves you. Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you a Christian or a Jew?" He said, "A Christian." I said, "Me too. Protestant or Catholic?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too. What franchise?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" He said, "Northern Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist, Eastern region?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, "Die, heretic," and I pushed him over.
Thank you. So I think this is a fun joke. I heard Pastor Kim Shibley say it once at church, and I thought it was so funny. And I think it illustrates what we're talking about. You know, like they agree on 99.9%. They just don't agree that you in your church, when you take the communion, you take it with the left hand. Mm. In my church, we take it in the right hand. Mm. Die, heretic.
Yeah.
That sounds ridiculous. And this is so funny that it became a joke. Mm. But then if we don't understand the differences between, you know, major doctrines and secondary doctrines, mm-hmm. then we have a problem in relating with others. And we have a problem being a nuisance mm-hmm. at this point. At this point, we're a nuisance. You know, and maybe that takes us maybe to another point. I think it could be interesting. So, I spent a few years studying, you know, in two different universities where I did my research for apologetics. And those two Christian universities or seminaries were actually Reformed Calvinist, which we're not, you know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I learned a few things from my time over there. First, I learned a brand new appreciation for Reformed theologians, because they're super serious about taking the scriptures mm-hmm. fundamentally, believing in it, you know, and defending it and presenting as close to what they think is scriptures. So that's the heart of it is great. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't agree on some things and also, but that's one, the second lesson. The things I thought were major differences are actually minor differences in many ways, because let's take election, for example. The way we understand election, if I were to take a poll with people who don't know Reformed theology, they would say, "Well, election is a Calvinist thing, so we don't believe in it."
Yeah.
It's absolutely false. We believe in election.
Yeah.
They believe in election. The only major difference, which is a minor difference, is the mean of election. Mm-hmm. I believe in 1 Peter 1:2, God did because of his foreknowledge mm-hmm. of our response to the gospel. They're saying, no, it can't. It has to be on God's only sovereign will, because mm-hmm. otherwise that means you could be saved on your own will. And that can happen because of total depravity. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
So now we're playing almost like semantics, you know, mm-hmm. which I think is has a big consequence. I'm not minimizing, but I'm just saying, okay, well, hold on. Can I chill? I'm not gonna tell, you know, one of my professors, "You're a heretic and pushing down the bridge." I won't. Mm-hmm. It's not major. And I think realize sometimes when we don't interact or understand other Christians, we also have a very much of a caricature of an idea of what they're thinking and vice versa. And the last point that I learned through my years over there, besides everything I learned for the topic itself, mm-hmm. is the only one that gave me a hard time during my 5 years in those two schools were students, never professors. Hmm. And it taught me a very good lesson that I find in my own heart. The more I'm convicted about something that I believe to be true, the less likely I will defend it violently because I'm relaxing it. But if I'm not sure, like I was a problem for some students because I had arguments that went against their beliefs. Arguments that actually worked so well that they were actually questioning their views.
Hmm.
But the point is, that's why they reacted violently and it becomes a personal attack or, oh, you don't believe, oh, this and that. Because now they have to be super strong about defending because they find themselves on the edge of a cliff. I may change and I can't change my convictions.
Hmm.
But the professors are not intimidated at all.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, you and I don't agree. And I became very close to one of them. And when I used to go and travel to take some classes, I would stay overnight, you know, in their homes. We had a great fellowship every single time, you know. Mm. So I think it's these three things we have to understand that relates to our topic today. We can chill. If I'm really convicted about things, I don't have to defend them violently. I can explain my point. We don't agree. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I have my convictions before God.
Yeah, and I think that last point that you just made about the level of confidence I have in what yes. I believe or what I know impacts the level of defensiveness that I feel
absolutely
for those things, because if I'm believing it about God, has nothing to do with me.
Yes,
in the reality mm-hmm, of these mm-hmm. things, like I'm standing on my soapbox trying to show who I am, trying to demonstrate how much I know about God, and mm-hmm, someone mm-hmm. challenges me and is exposing my lack of understanding, or mm-hmm. they have a different perspective, or they read the scriptures in a different way, and maybe they knew the Greek and the Hebrew and all these different things, and I feel insufficient in this argument or feel insufficient in my understanding and my knowledge. So I just push back on them to try to defend myself as opposed to saying, oh, maybe, because that can be humiliating
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and it can be difficult, especially if it's something that's deeply rooted in, or I'm very vocal or I'm very demonstrative in my teaching of a particular secondary doctrine or yeah. tertiary doctrine mm-hmm, or in some cases, then okay, what are the ramifications if this thing that I've been pushing is actually not true mm-hmm. or is there's a difference and maybe something I haven't considered, and how will that impact my view, how I am viewed or how I view myself, and mm-hmm. and again, how will it change my life if it's with this, I've made this tertiary thing one of the most important things in my life, and now it could be that it shifts to something else, mm-hmm. then my life goes to those things.
Yes,
so like
yes.
that's the importance of these layers that we're talking about, yes. like holding them, you know, with not too tight, holding them with an open hand that we're willing to communicate and willing to learn and to grow and to have a conviction about something or have a thought about something, but be able to listen to the other opinions and other viewpoints that exist while still holding on tightly to those dogmatic, fundamental, absolute truths that the scripture has made clear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like this in 1 Corinthians 8, these verses about, this is the opening verse that I use when I'm teaching Survey of Doctrine mm-hmm. in Bible school. It says, now concerning, it's talking about what you should eat or not eat, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, whether you should eat meat offered to idols or not, and all these different things. But it says, we know that we all have knowledge, right? And that's mm-hmm. true. We all have knowledge of yeah. something. We all have a level of understanding as it relates to what God has said or what, yes. what our lives are about, and what, you know, on those three different layers, dogmatic truth, secondary or major doctrines, and then tertiary or preferential types of beliefs. And then it says, knowledge puffs up,
mm-hmm.
but love edifies.
Yes.
And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
But if anyone loves God, this one is known by him. And that's like the point of these doctrines and this discernment, is like that we would know God, that we would learn his love for us, and that we would, in that knowledge of those absolute truths, mm-hmm. of those fundamental, that middle, that bullseye of those concentric circles that you were describing, in those fundamental truths, knowing who God is and letting that bleed into my understanding of those secondary and those tertiary doctrines, mm-hmm. is letting God work, you let the love of God be shed abroad in my heart,
mm-hmm.
so that in those things that I believe about baptism, about communion, about eternal security, about you know, how many worship songs we should sing, whether or not we should wear this particular type of clothing in service, what the order of service is, mm-hmm. whether I should drink alcohol or not, whether I should do all these different things that go into our Christian life should flow from that center, which is where the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, so that I can have that be the place I return to when mm-hmm. I have questions about what's going on and how I should discern what I should and shouldn't do in my life and how I should live my life. Because if I put one of those things in the center and they replace or they obstruct my view of the love of God, then then it's going to have a severe impact in the rest of my life.
Absolutely.
Personally, but also my interactions with other people. Mm-hmm. I start to have these walls up between me and other believers for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because like you said, I've made a caricature of what I think they believe. And it in my mind, I've said, we can't have fellowship because we are disagreeing on this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like the joke was saying, maybe we agree on almost everything mm-hmm. except for something.
Yeah.
And is that thing as important as I'm making it out to be? And is there an opportunity that I'm missing for fellowship and for God to be glorified in this community that he has made the body of Christ? And that's something that I think even in my own life, it's been not a challenge, but something, a hurdle to get over. It's like, okay, well, why do I think this way about mm-hmm. whoever it is, whatever group of people it is, whether a Christian or unbeliever, like, why do I think this way? Is this like sourced in truth? Is this something I'm just in my mind making this character of this person? And why not just talk to them and mm-hmm. kind of make it clear so that I know, oh, can we have fellowship or not? And that doesn't mean that I can't still love them and care mm-hmm. about them, even if there isn't the level of fellowship that, or the depth of a relationship that maybe I'm looking for, but mm-hmm. I can still have the love of God flow through those different aspects of my life and impact other people that I'm interacting with.
Yeah. And I think in a way it's okay. So just to make sure people understand, look, we're not saying that convictions don't matter. They do, right?
Yes.
Like, we're not trying to be wishy-washy and to please everyone, not having any interactions.
No.
You know, we walk on eggshells. We don't. But then the big question, which one of the questions that I do ask in my class of apologetics is, okay, do I have to raise every single issues in the world for someone to be saved? Think about the thief on the cross, right? How much doctrine did he have?
Hmm.
I mean, did he believe in the substantiation of Christ, or did he believe in the substantiation of Christ?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a very good question to ask. You know, did he believe in pedobaptism, or did he believe in just regular baptism? You know, mm-hmm. that's a big question. You know, mm-hmm. did he believe that you know in the Council of 1819, you know, 1889 or 1912? You know, none of those things did matter. It's just, you know, if you remember me when you're in kingdom, yeah, well, today you will be with me in paradise. So we're not like saying that doctrines doesn't matter, right? But we're saying also that we have to have an understanding of what really matters.
Yeah.
And so we do not fall into these vain disputes that Paul is talking about, you know, in Titus 3:9.
Yeah.
And I think, though the point we made earlier, the more the stronger my convictions are, the less likely it would be of a matter of importance for me to discuss, you know, with an attitude. And I think it's the same thing. I don't know if we can take this to relationships and work environments. You know, like I don't know, I work on staff, so it's maybe different. But if you work in the world. People, you know, it's one of the famous things we know. You know, it's what we call, you know, office gossip. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And people have ambitions and sometimes they put you down, you know, and because they want to take your spot or they don't want you to be promoted.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens. We're humans. We have things. I'm not making any other point but this one. But then when you hear something, people say something about you, then really, if it's not true, then when things are true, I want to own them and I want to make them, you know, make it right. But if mm-hmm. things are not true, I've grown not to care.
Hmm.
I've grown not to care. Like, yeah, well, you're entitled to your opinion. Well, you should defend yourself because it's not true, you know. That means I care, you know. So if it's not true, I think it's the same way with our convictions. Yeah, you know, like people tell me, well, you know, I don't believe in God. You know, if one day somebody told me once in the street, I don't believe in God. When if God exists, when I go to heaven, I have some questions for him. He's angry at God, not at me.
Hmm.
And I say, well, I understand what you're saying, but your sentence doesn't make any sense. Because if you do, if God does end up existing, you won't be able to question him at all. Hmm. Because you'll be awestruck, you know. So
it'll be speechless.
Yeah. And so it's what you mean, because think about this. If God is true, the God of the Bible, do you really think you'll be able to ask him a question, you know?
Yeah.
I guess not, you know, so that's the point. So, so anyway, did it affect me? I just wanted to go back to it, which is interesting in the conversation. It took me back with him in the conversation about talking about, well, let's say that God does exist. Mm-hmm. And then we went back to the gospel and said, well, that means that Jesus is the Son of God. And we ended up talking about the gospel, which was so interesting. But I think it's when we are, like, you know, so focused on the idea of defending something because we're unsure or we take it personally, and then we can't really relate to people. Mm-hmm. So what are we saying? We're saying we need to have strong convictions, absolutely strong foundations of what we believe, so we wouldn't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrines. Once I have that strong foundations, you know, if I you buy a house on the shore, you know, and then where there's a cliff, you know, the foundation is not properly done, the cliff is being eroded every year, versus some other place where the cliff is not eroded, guess who's going to be nervous? The guy who's you know, foundations had not been done properly. This guy over here doesn't care, you know. Yeah. And I think it's the same thing with our convictions. I know what I believe. I know what I believe. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I was just thinking of, like, going this tension that you were talking about between not being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and then avoiding vain disputes or foolish disputes, as you said in Titus 3:9.
It matters. It's a conviction.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It's a conviction. You know, I have to correct you on this. This is a major issue. I don't even know if I can sit with you.
I think that was unintentionally, but that's such a good example.
I picked it up. I wanted to do something. Imagine, okay, you don't know this verse. What is wrong with you? Like, that, like, would be.
Aren't you a pastor? It's like, yeah, I don't even know.
When were you ordained? I don't talk to the elders. That would be one way to illustrate what we're talking about. Come on. You know, the slip of the tongue, you know,
exactly. But like this, these vain or foolish disputes, they can kind of get in the way of our relationships and our interactions with one another, like having a deeper, I'm thinking of this, at the school, Greater Grace Christian Academy, I coached the basketball team, the middle school basketball team a few years ago. And we were, I'll never forget the rides in the van to and from games. We had a game that was far away, and it was like a 45-minute drive back. And we're riding back, and they're starting all these arguments about who the best quarterback in the NFL is or who the best NBA player is. Mm. And I'm just like, they each have their argument about who's better, Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, whatever. And they're like giving their takes, and then they never resolve the dispute. They just move to a different dispute.
Yeah.
And then the whole ride, they're just like, saying, well, but what about this guy and this guy? And it's a completely separate argument and a completely separate thing. And it's just basically argument for the sake of argument. You know, we're just passing time and making this drive go quicker by having these conversations. And really nobody, there is nothing necessarily that I can say, well, I'm right and you're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, the debates that happen throughout, and I think sports debates are ones that it's impossible to, in some cases, confirm who is the greatest of all time or all these different things. But we can have that same type of mentality in these debates about preferential, tertiary or secondary doctrines. Like, well, this is what it says and this is what it says. And do we anticipate having a resolution to those things, or do we just like to argue? Do we just like to have these types of conversations and what is the point, as you were saying, with apologetics and with evangelism and apologetics, like, what is the point of our interaction with one another? What is the point of us talking about this? And how, is it just for us to waste time talking and arguing and like we actually get further away from reconciliation, and now we say something that we didn't mean and have this air of superiority to over the other person because you believe that and that's crazy and I believe this and I'm right, and on both sides we have the same mentality. Like, that tension between the vain babble, vain repetition or vain disputes or foolish disputes about things and then being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, I think is something that it's important. Like, how do we navigate those different, because we want to know and want to learn more about those fundamental truths. Yeah. And I think getting closer to Christ and having him be the focus of those things and not my knowledge of a particular doctrine, because I can feel deficient in my faith or in my life when somebody comes to me and I don't have an answer for a particular doctrine, or they ask me why I believe what I believe and I don't have an answer for that. How would you say, like, what's a method or what's a practice that someone could have talking about discernment and like navigating those conversations? Well, maybe I am having a conversation with somebody and that person, I care about them and they care about me. And we are questioning one another. How do we take those conversations and, you know, apply these techniques or this discernment that we're talking about in a practical way?
Yeah. I think maybe for me, at least, the way I deal with things is the first question is really, does the conversation matter? Right. The conversation matter, meaning that if we are going to talk, like some of the young people I'm talking to, the questions are concerning enough for me to make sure I take the time, you know, like, for example, I've had people question, you know, the authenticity of the Bible or me, even God's existence, you know, so, you know, that really matters a lot. So, okay, this, I want to take all my attention to it. I want to think about this. I want to pray about it. I want to dedicate the time that it requires. So the subject matters in one way. Also,
And that whether or not the conversation really matters, is that kind of linked with the level, the depth, if it's one of those dogmatic truths, the center of that circle, that's kind of helping you determine whether it's a conversation that matters or that we need to set this straight. We need to make sure this is clear as far as what the Bible says. Okay.
So that's one aspect. Does the topic matter and does the relationship that I have with the person, you know, make it a matter of importance? You know, so because I understand also, like, if I meet someone in the street that raises kinds of questions and we have 10 minutes to talk, okay, I have to leave it up to God. But let's say young people that you and I are ministering to in the church, or that's the relationship and the subject matter really puts it into perspective.
Gotcha. Okay.
I've had people, you know, talk to me and says, well, I don't know, like, do I believe like that, you know, maybe the church will be raptured, you know, or so I had the question with somebody asked, I don't know if there is an actual millennium, you know, maybe it's true. So, well, yeah, we can talk about this. I can tell you why I believe it, but I'm not interested to talk. And they say, well, I'm not so interested to discuss it. I just want to let you know. Okay. That's fine. I understand, you know.
Sure.
I think I think it's important for you to take this matter seriously, because like with everything else in the Bible, Christians should take things seriously when it comes down to the Word of God. So I would say if you're questioning those things for yourself, you have to take the time to go in deep. And I'm there if you have any questions. I can present what we believe and you can make your own opinion.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean by that, you know. But sometimes the relationship and the subject makes it important for us to navigate. So, but when it does, let's say if it's a secondary or tertiary point, do I want to have the conversation? Yeah, I have the time, you have the time, let's talk about this. But I'm really relaxed about it. And there's plenty of room for conversations. There's plenty of room to move around in the conversation. When it comes down to real matters, I think one thing that I'm trying to do is show the importance of getting it right. And that's how we navigate. Okay, let's sit down, because I think this really matters to me. Let me tell you why it matters to me. And then we have this conversation. But at the end of the day, Romans 14, everybody falls and stands before God.
Yeah.
You know, so that also is something I have to understand.
Yeah, and I think that can be difficult for us or for people, maybe even for younger people who are looking to places of authority. In trying to answer some of these questions, whether they're secondary or tertiary or even the fundamental ones, like some clarity and some definition, because there are so many different modes of information being thrown at us in our lives. You know, we have the Bible, we have podcasts, we have radio, we have YouTube, we have all these different things and different information sources that are coming, and how do I, there's so much coming, and how do I know what is true, what is not true, and how do I navigate those different things? And as you're saying, like whether or not it's an important doctrine, and having the humility or the understanding, like we were reading in 1 Corinthians 8, like there's some things that I don't know. This mm-hmm. is what I, this is what makes sense to me. This is yeah. what God has put on my heart. This is what I understand to be true, but I'm not holding it on so tightly that it's going to cause division with somebody else. And yeah. I'm not pushing it on you because mm-hmm. I'm saying this is what God says this is. And that's something that I think can be difficult. Mm-hmm. When there are people who do push things on that are not necessarily part of that inner circle, maybe yeah. they're secondary or tertiary. Mm-hmm. This is what we do. This is what the Bible says. This is why we do what we do. Mm-hmm. And treating it as if it's a dogmatic truth when yes. it's actually a tertiary thing. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that can cause difficulty when people Absolutely. Are trying to discern, like, okay, well, this is what I've been taught my entire life. This is what I've grown up in. And I'm treating it the same way as these other truths. And how do I like see those differences and those mm-hmm. things? And I think looking at the different creeds and looking at the different things that we're talking about as far as the theological triage is a term that is used in like where these doctrines fall in that, in mm-hmm. those concentric circles that you're talking about. Okay, is this something that yeah. is at the fundamental to what I believe? Is it secondary, a denominational mm-hmm. belief, or is this something that's more of a preferential type of thing? And different people fall into those different categories where some are more prone to the liturgy and the ceremonial aspect of church, and that's where they fall in line. And some are more mm-hmm. Related to or comfortable with a freer, less formalized, more spiritual experience type of thing. But like, where do those, how do I navigate those things? How do I relate to those things? And how do I go, bring them to, again, to that center point, which is the love of Christ, which is
yes.
the truth that we know about him, and letting that flow through those different areas in my life, not necessarily just what I grew up in, not necessarily just what somebody said, because I mean, there are times when people say stuff and you take it and you treat it like it's the word of God. Mm-hmm. And then you realize, oh wait, this actually, the Bible doesn't actually say that, or mm-hmm. I've been holding onto this thing too tightly. Yeah. And now I'm like, and everything's falling apart. And if I just let go of this thing, then actually everything will kind of work out, not work yeah. out, but I can kind of rest and I can be brought back. Cause I, mm-hmm. if I'm holding on too tight to something that's not fundamental or foundational, then, it can cause problems.
Yeah. Sense. Yeah. It can. And. And I think there's a good comment here. There's a couple of good comments, but I think one way is that as Christian, we're reading running in the word. So yes, already I agreed. And data, I think you're saying here, it's like, it's listening and being slow to speak is a highly underrated virtue when discussing arguments. I couldn't agree more than that. I think yeah. that we've lost the art of dialogue and fellowship. We have two monologues, you know, and then I'm not listening to what you're saying. I'm waiting for you to be done so I can argue, you know, yeah. and then when I'm done, you were waiting for me to be done because you wanted to argue something. And then we're in two different frequencies. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't even overlap in the conversation. And it's true. That's one thing, one of the skills that we've lost that I think I'm advocating in my class of apologetics is it has to be a conversation. And the only way to argue hitting the target when you want to have a conversation is making sure that you understand the question mm-hmm. before you give an answer, you know, and that's absolutely yeah. true. And I think it's true for everything. And that leads to another point. We get to the end of our time, but another point, I think words have meaning, but meanings vary. So you could use a word, I can hear the word, and I put my definition behind your word, and it's not the same definition that you put behind the word you used. And understanding that is also a very important matter, you know. So sometimes an apparent difference in convictions comes from an actual difference of meaning for the same word. So taking the time to listen and understand, asking questions, I think is also something that helps a lot in a conversation when there's a disagreement. So that's how I think we navigate on those matters. And
I like that words have meaning and meanings differ. It's like when we're having these conversations when we're having maybe a disagreement or something like that, mm-hmm. like having clarification of what is the conversation valuable, mm-hmm. obviously, but also like, what is the meaning behind what we're saying? And sometimes we are assuming that mm-hmm. we know what somebody means when they say something, but mm-hmm. if we need clarification on something in hopes to be drawn closer to one another, in hopes to have a dialogue and not just two monologues, yes. in order to understand where somebody's coming from. And the question is, do I really want to understand where mm-hmm, somebody mm-hmm. else is coming from, or do yeah, I just yeah. want to?
It's a big one.
To prove that I'm right and they're yeah. wrong. Which yeah. is like, discernment is meant for us to, you know, walk in this life and have you know, understanding of what we're going through and what's happening, and being mm-hmm. able to know how to make the right decisions and know how to relate to God and relate to each other. And I think the doctrines that we've talked about, the different layers and the different theological triage that happens in our life between cardinal doctrines and secondary doctrines mm-hmm. and tertiary doctrines are important in us navigating our lives individually, mm-hmm. but then also navigating our lives as we interact with one another as human beings in this world. So, amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today.
And we didn't mention Jehu once.
We didn't. Not till now.
Until now.
So, not till now.
He thought he could just sleep in his laurels over there, no. just thinking, they left me alone, but no.
Well, thanks for joining us today. And
thank you,
sure
Jehu.
Make sure you check out the rest of the episodes this week as we talk about discernment and doctrine. And be sure to subscribe. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, all the different places. Have a good one.